I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News' fine photography feature, Royal Loopers. Welcome, Royal.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here.
Well, it's lovely to be talking about photography. There are some people who are crazy about photography. You're one of them. I admire good photography like yours. Can never get enough of it. Some people don't get as excited. Tell our audience why you got excited about photography in the first place.
Oh, I've always loved photography. As a young boy, everyone used to see me running around with a camera in The Hague in the Netherlands. And, I started taking courses in how to develop my own stuff and do things. Helped out a local photographer down in our street who was getting a little bit old. And one of my first things that I photographed for him in those days, the Dutch would like a photo of the deceased person's face. So he sent me into the hospital, which was over the road from his studio. And I had this man had been dead and was beautiful light, and I could push him around a bit. And that was the first professional photo I took of, and then people put it on their mantelpiece.
What an amazing thing. I don't think I've ever heard about this sort of
macabre. Yeah, I doubt they're still doing it, Michael, but that was, and he made quite a bit of money out of it.
Well, two things. You describe him as an old fellow. Well, he's probably in his 50s.
Yeah, well, probably because I was, 14, 15, 16.
You're 14, 15, 16, starting to take photos like that. And this is in an age as well when it wasn't all colour.
Yeah, no, it was, we're talking about, I was born in 48, so we're talking about the 50s, 60s, where everything was pretty primitive in photography as well. Cameras were primitive, lenses were of good quality, but no zoom lenses, of course, no automatic focusing, light meter reading. You have to have a separate light meter to do that things. But it always fascinated me to capture, I think, in a way, the essence of life, what community is, what life is, and that's what I've been doing in Fremantle now for so long.
Well, in a moment, we're going to look through a couple of dozen of your photographs, which are, I think, mostly, if not all, in colour. I can remember a time, though, in the West Australian newspaper, flicked from being black and white on their front page and everywhere else to suddenly colour.
Yep.
And I knew the editor of the West Australian at that stage. I sort of complained to him that I was a real aficionado of the black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
I did adapt, but do you remember having any trouble with going colour?
I did, because when I started working in Nuremberg in Germany as a press photographer for daily newspapers, the daily newspapers in the early 70s were, of course, all black and white. There was no colour. So the only time that I took the old role of colour was maybe on a holiday or if I wanted to do something different. But I had, when I came to Australia, very, very little experience in taking photos in colour or on slide film, for that matter. I used to take everything on negative.
Well, here's a photograph that tells you, in a sense, everything about Fremantle. Not everybody loves cruise ships, but this is quite a beautiful picture, isn't it? Just a fabulous, fabulous ship. It's the Crown Princess, which we saw quite a bit of in Fremantle. It's I just love it because it's so crisp, it's so clear, it's warm, and it's got the red North Mole lighthouse in it. Tell me about your association with the port. And when you take a photo like that, what are you trying to achieve?
Well, first of all, I always try to, make people aware, probably where it is, to tell the story. At the end of the day, photography is storytelling. And so for me, the inclusion of the lighthouse is important, because in the moment I only take it against the ocean or an horizon. It could be anywhere, could be a file photo. And, and the good thing in Fremantle is, of course, most of the cruise ships arrive very early in the morning. So you get that very beautiful morning light. And as someone who worked, who did photography for the port for 14 years, I just love the port. I love that it constantly changes. I walk on Victoria Quay probably most days, just to have a bit of a look around, what's happening, what is changing. And that connection, I know so many people at the port because I did so much work for them. I know every centimeter of the port. And it's a special place for me.
It really is something, isn't it? And if you happen to be down near the North Red Mole or the South Green Mole, to see some of those big ships come in. This morning, for example, there was a big container ship, and it sort of towers over everything.
Yeah.
Quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And I don't know how these things float. I mean, I just do not understand how a container ship that weighs, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of tons, or one of those cruise ships, how do they stay afloat is beyond me. But I love taking photos of them, especially the container ships, the commercial ships, because they got the tugs around them. And I love the power of the tugs when they, you know, when they pull something around, and that is really special.
It really is something, isn't it? I think it's something to do with Archimedes' principle.
Yeah, probably.
The boats float.
Yeah, exactly.
Mind you, I don't understand how the planes don't fall out of the sky.
No,
the
same.
You can go to the port any time, day or night, and there's something, even if it's pitch black. But what about this photo here?
Yeah, this was one of those, you know, a lot of photography happens by chance. I drove down Peter Hughes Drive, which is the one closest to the port, and around sunset, and I just saw the glow of the setting sun behind the Three Cranes. And then, of course, my photographer's eye picked up the beautiful little, you know, the highlights on the cars that were parked there that had just been imported. And for me, that tells the story. It tells the container port, it tells, you know, the sunset where we are, and it tells us about the Ro-Ro and the import of vehicles.
It really is something, but I get the sense, and I think when we were talking on the podcast we did about you and your life recently, which listeners will be able to click on and listen quite separately to, you were talking about photos, you were talking about sort of sprinkles of water on a windscreen of a car, you were talking about puddles. What's this photo all about?
Yeah, this is probably one of my favorite photos. It's for me, this is the story of winter or autumn. I was on the foreshore and it started raining, so I went back and sat in my car, all the beautiful raindrops on my windscreen, and then I saw this man with his dog walking past. The tree looks quite desolate. There's a little dog somewhere in there. There's actually another person just on the horizon on the tree. And I just thought, this is brilliant. I photographed it in black and white, but I've also produced it in, I photographed it in color. But yeah, it's just that storytelling, like, oh, you know, it's raining, it's winter, it's and there's this person actually, you know, the head down a bit. And I love that.
So that's an example where you turned it into a black and white photograph.
Yeah.
Because it has that, what is it? It has that sort of cold, cool, wet winter.
Yeah. It's something I rarely do it, because I still am a big believer that very often black and white tells the story better than color. A lot of people get, you know, attracted by the color and say, oh, this is beautiful, the colors are beautiful, but it doesn't actually tell the story.
Well, you pick up an Ansel Adams landscape in the Rocky Mountains or somewhere in the US, and it's not there in colour. It's in majestic black, white, and however many greys.
Yeah, and brilliantly done. You know, I mean, these people knew exactly all their chemicals, how to print the beautiful blacks in Ansel Adams photos, but also, you know, the grey tones and the whites. And Adams landscapes are probably perfect, in my opinion.
There are young kids today, like teenagers or young adults, who collect the old 78 vinyl record or the 33 RPMs, and they have their you know, record players at home, and they play these things.
Yeah,
it hasn't quite died. But what about that form of photography? Is anyone doing it any longer?
I think there's plenty of, I mean, there's so many good young photographers out there. I mean, I believe a lot of them probably shoot in black and in color, and they just turn it into black and white, you know, in Lightshop, Lighthouse or Photoshop. But there are some really good young photographers. I think the one thing that young photographers need to learn, that you actually need to get it right in the moment you shoot. That was always in film, we had no options. If you did not capture it properly on film, if it was too underexposed or too overexposed, you couldn't do anything with it. And for me, that is still, you know, we used to say in and out, and so rubbish in, rubbish out, and that is really what you capture in the camera needs to be good enough, and to believe that you can just do it in Photoshop is just then you might as well leave it to AI.
Do you think everyone's using digital now?
I think most people do, but I see quite a few younger photographers. I know that Kate Hullett, well-known in Fremantle, she photographs, she does take photos on film.
It's amazing, isn't it? And so the old practice continues on.
Yeah, it's a bit like final music, you know. I mean, you talk to Mark at the record finder, and he does a roaring trade because there are people who don't like digital music. They think vinyl music is better. It's got more warmth, you know, maybe it's less precise. It's a bit like old photography. Old photography is maybe not as sharp as modern photography. It's maybe not as brilliant, but it's better.
And that record shop, listeners, is just near Henry Street in High Street, Fremantle. Yeah. Great place to go in.
Yeah.
And if they had black and white photos in there, it would be the complete thing.
Yeah.
This is not black and white, this next photo. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I love this kind of things. I love all form of reflections, and this was taken in the fishing boat harbour. And I just wander by whatever thing, and I suddenly see all these different colours of the water, and then the movement of the water. So I just, you know, ran the camera for 6 or 7 photos. And
But how do you get that? You have to do something technical? You have to zoom in a very strong
way? Yeah, I zoomed in quite a bit, but it's still probably, you know, you're still looking at whatever 5 or 6 meters of water. And it's just picking up those swirls and the, you know, the same water reacts, and you get the blue from the sky reflecting that, and, you know, whatever else reflects in there. And that's a fascinating way of seeing different things.
Now, I know you use a Nikon. Mm. And I imagine that's taken with a Nikon camera.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what sort of lens do you use to go in on that?
Oh, I wouldn't know, but it's probably not that long. It's probably only about 150 mil or something like that. So I walk around with a zoom lens, which is 18 to, I think, 120 or something like that. So that's my normal, the one that I've got in my bag every day. That's my little...
Your workhorse.
My workhorse, exactly, yeah. The one that does exactly what I tell it to do.
Now, there's one thing when you go around Fremantle. There's always some interesting spot.
Mm.
They can all be your favourite, but for many, I suspect, this particular setting down near Bathers Beach is going to be one of them. Tell us about this photo.
Yeah, I was sitting at Bathers Beach, as I often do, and it was probably late afternoon by looking at the sky, and I saw these two people sitting there and this young woman starting taking selfies of herself, and it just worked. She got her phone in her right hand and she's waving with her left hand, and I was actually sitting on the bench and took the photo. So, and then you get that little highlight of the sun this year.
Oh, is that what
it's
that just, is?
It's on the deck.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Just a shaft of light.
Yeah, and it just gives us a different dimension.
And then the other interesting thing in this photo, for people who know Fremantle, because you don't often get it in the way you've caught it here, you've got both the South Mole on the left, the North Mole on the right.
Yeah.
That's really something. Did you set out to do that?
Yeah, you get it, you know, from the certain angles at Bayless Beach, you get both of the lighthouses in, which is nice. It just gives you that connection to Fremantle and where we are.
Now, it's not all sort of beer and skittles down at the port. What's this?
Yeah, one of those, you know, walk around the streets, and there's this guy performing, and he's interacting with the public, and this woman walks over and gives him a big hug, and I just happened to be on the other side of the road, and click, 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 and I had 3 photos, and I love that photo. For me, that's so Fremantle. You know, the busker, the interaction you see behind, the person laughing, you know, enjoying it.
Which rather goes to show to me that yes, it wasn't hammed up, it wasn't staged.
No.
You got that snap.
Yeah.
And the lady on the left is not a sort of a second actor working with this figure. She's just come out.
Yeah, just come out. She was on the street. And I don't like stage photos. I never liked them in my professional work. I had to do a lot of that and, you know, tell people what to do and direct people. I never wanted to be a director of photography. I want to be a photographer.
Well, we've got this expression, street photography, which perhaps in some ways is overused. Is this an example of a street?
Yeah, that's exactly. It's one of those chance photography. I mean, street photography, we call it loitering with intent. And that's really what street photography is, that just being aware of what's happening around you, that includes reflections or anything, you know, ugly or dirty or beautiful. And when you walk by somewhere and you see something like that, it's just like, wow, boom.
So in art, people painting, it's often plein air. And this is the same. You're walking, you see something, it takes your eye.
Yeah.
And you compose it, you snap it.
Yeah.
Probably snap's too informal a word. You take a perfect photograph of it.
I would hope, Michael, that my snaps are better than the average snap. But that probably sounds arrogant. But
not at all. That's the thing. Snap is sort of a word used for my photographs, but not for yours.
But well, a snap is, you know, mainly a snap is really a photo that it's something that just happens. And that's what street photography is. It just happens. I have no influence over it. The only way is I need to have my camera out really fast. I need to know what I'm doing, you know, have the light meter reading, do ideally the perfect composition. I don't like cropping photos. So it's a snap.
Sometimes you can go and hunt out a street photograph in the sense, you know, there's a demonstration on, or you know that there's a big thing happening in the city and you can wander in and it's all there for you. But what about this photograph here? What's the story?
Yeah, this is Herbert Brofo. He's a Noongar elder, and I met, very funny, one of the very first non-Australia days we had in Fremantle, where Fremantle Council decided to no longer celebrate, which I actually agree with. I was driving onto the South Mall one morning, and the city had organized a session of Welcome to Country actually inside the old roundhouse. And I drive back from the South Mall because I was, as always, early, and I see this Aboriginal man with this enormous Aboriginal flag standing on the deck, on the cannon deck at the roundhouse.
And there it is, the flag.
And then later on, this was a year or two later, the city moved the ceremony to Bader's Beach next to Kidogo Art House. And I was waiting, and here was Herbert walking with this flag coming down. He probably parked at the roundhouse somewhere, forgotten where he needed to be. And I just love how he just walks. He's dressed up, and he's got the Aboriginal flag over his shoulder. And
he's painted up.
And he's painted up, and you see the ocean.
It's a lovely photograph because it really does get you talking. I mean, we could have a session on sort of colonial history if we pause, but let's move on here. Now, this looks like it's out of some dystopian movie.
Yeah, this is one of my hobbies that I do in summer, in winter, and when it starts raining. I'm looking for puddles and reflections of buildings or whatever in puddles. So this happened to be the Mediterranean Shipping Company building in Cliff Street. And I just stood on the other side, and you can see it says loading bay in the front, still the yellow line. And then the totally distorted building, which is just the puddle, you know, doing what puddles do in the wind. And you get this totally different perspective, a look at Fremantle.
So when the viewer looks at this, is the middle part of it the reflection? Is any of it the actual building that you've caught? Or is it all reflection?
No, this is all reflection.
All reflection.
Yep. This is all reflection.
It's just amazing that you can get that, including the yellow line and the loading bay at the front.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just a different way. If it had only been the reflection, it would still be a quirky kind of a photo. But because of that yellow line and that loading, it actually tells a little bit more of the story.
So any photograph you take, but just using this one as an example for the purposes of this discussion, is a photograph like that just for your enjoyment, to have fun with, or does it entertain? It entertains me. I mean, what's your purpose in taking that photo?
Oh, I like to share it. It's for me, it's not only seeing a photo is for me the most satisfactory moment. To, you know, when I capture an image that actually no one else has captured, it's also that awareness that you're actually still capturing history, even if it's distorted history in a way. And then, you know, to share it, especially on my blog. Now, in the past, it used to be on the walls, and you had to get big prints done and go to art exhibitions and hang it out, and it cost so much money. Now I can share it for free with everyone. Everyone can have a look at it.
It's amazing. Freo View, as you pointed out, you put images up and people can use them.
Yeah.
And that's really lovely. But talking about your own career, it hasn't just been Frio View. You've exhibited here, there, and everywhere, solo, in group exhibitions.
I had a lot of exhibitions in the late. Oh, when I came to Perth, so I came to Perth in 84, late 84. So from about 85 on, I started doing. One of my first exhibitions was at Delaney Galleries. They used to be in Beaufort Street. And I got so impressed with the blue sky of Western Australia that I took this whole series of photos of tiny little corners or of man-made objects against the blue sky. So the blue sky was probably 60-70% of the image. Blew them up, all taken on slides. So then you had to get Seba chrome prints done by Churchill Laboratories, but it cost $250, then get the framing done. And so that was my first solo exhibition at Delaney Galleries, and I sold one single photo. And a year later, I took the exhibition to the Kerestes Gallery in Nuremberg in Germany, and it was a sellout on the night.
The Germans love Australia.
Yeah, and because, you know, the Europeans were far better accepting photography as an art form then.
It was a little bit too, to misuse the expression, in a way, avant-garde.
Yeah, it's still a little bit like that. You know, I had my last exhibition, I think, was a show where Brett Rimmer, who is at the moment at the Free Metal Art Center, I think Brett was in the main hall. I had the deep, narrow hall, and then there was a woman, I don't know her last name, Karen, from Kalgoorlie. So the three of us had individual exhibitions, but had one title.
Who was the first person you mentioned?
Sorry?
Who was the first person?
Brett Rimmer.
Well, Brett's got an exhibition right now.
Good Mate of Mine, who has a fantastic exhibition at the moment at the Free Metal Arts Centre.
Shout out to Brad. I looked for the training town hall, training the town in the central wheat belt.
Yeah.
I thought it must be here somewhere. Yeah. He must have taken the photograph. Yeah. The last photograph I saw as I left was the training. Amazing. But what about this? This is equally amazing. This tells you even more about Free Metal. How does that come about?
Yeah, it's again the awareness. I was walking up at Captain's Lane, so just that's the little lane from the roundhouse where the pilot cottages are. And I just happened to look down at the port and I say, oh, here's C.Y. O'Connor, there's container ships, there's the big cranes, and you've got a little bit of the cafe still there, plus the pine tree. And I thought, this is so very Fremantle, but also very much the port of Fremantle. And that connection, I really like C.Y. O'Connor's story. It's you know, the man did so much for Fremantle and for Western Australia, you know, with the design of the port, but also the pipeline to Kalgoorlie.
It's a wonderful testament to his work. Lovely statue, of course, famous, awful story how one morning he rode his horse down beyond South Beach and took his own life. But we commemorate him and his family each year him.
As often is the case, Michael, as we know from history, people are not always appreciated when they're alive. We know to have it to artists, and sadly C.Y. O'Connor got so much criticism, unfair criticism, and decided to take his own life. This is an absolute shame.
I know people who just love jigsaws, Rule. I reckon this could be turned into a complicated jigsaw puzzle.
It would be. Well, they're welcome to use it, make it into one.
But here we are, to the Daring Belongs the Future. What's this one?
Oh, this was a boarding in the High Street Mall. And my good mate, Horatio Birdbath, which most people know because he always hangs around in Fremantle and dresses up, he happened to walk by and I said to him, I said, go and sit there and we'll take a photo. And it's just such a lovely photo because, you know, he's one of the most daring person. He couldn't care less about what anyone thinks of him. He likes to show off. He's like me. He's very opinionated. And to say, the future actually belongs to us guys who are not conservative, who are not worried about change. That is where the future lies, even for Fremantle.
Well, that's a lovely story, and he's got his glasses on, which I like.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got his hat on, you know, and his stuff
is there. He's fully dressed up. This person, by comparison, is well dressed up as well, really.
Yeah, that was amazing. Again, this is a midday shot, sitting at Bader's Beach, having a rest from my morning walk. And this man sits down, starts reading a book, and I'm thinking, oh, look at the colours. He's dressed in all these colours, and then the beautiful little change rooms behind it, the ocean. a part of the beach, and I thought, well, that's a real story. That's a Bathurst Beach story.
It is a Bathurst Beach story. There'd be some people who think it's entirely contrived, that you've photoshopped it, that you've coloured each of the slats on the little building, and you put new trousers on this fellow.
Yeah, no, nothing. I don't even know the man. I don't know if he's ever seen that photo. So.
And then talking about colour and movement, what have we got here?
Yeah, probably my favourite people, the Australian First Nations people. I love Aboriginal people. So this was at the Wardanji Festival on the Esplanade, and where I go, try to go every time. And I just love it that they include their children in the dancing and in the performances. It's always good. You get these little kids and, you know, some of them just wander around totally, you know, clueless what they should be doing. But they're so beautiful. And I just love that about Aboriginal people, that sense of family. You know, that women dance with their little babies on their arm, and that's special.
I think you and I were running around with our cameras, me with my iPhone, you with your lovely cameras, your Nikons, that day taking them. It was a beautiful event, wasn't it? The dancing was something.
Yeah, it's really special. I love it. It's such a relaxed evening. I mean, that one is another one taken at Wardanji. Those two little kids just totally in their own little world, you know.
They absolutely are, aren't they?
Just brilliant, you know. It's just like there's nothing you can do about it or what the parents could do about it. They just wander around. And
I think I'd title that one The Choreographers. I think they're working their own dance routine.
Yeah, probably. Yes, yeah.
Really lovely. But then, you know, you can take another turn left and right and walk another 60 metres and you can come across something like this. Tell our viewers what we're looking at here.
This is really maybe the secret of photography that amateurs need to understand. It is so important to know the difference between morning and afternoon light, to understand that what I call when you shoot against the light, as I did in this photo, the sun rises on your right. You can see that immediately because the shadow is here on the right of this gentleman. This was in Fleet Street, one of my favorite streets. I love those roof lines there and the old sheds. And this man was just standing there. I think he was smoking or looking at his mobile phone. And just to capture that, the beautiful architectural element, but then that just because the man is there and that beautiful big shadow that he throws creates a different dimension to the picture.
It really is something for our viewers. What, the port's over this way to the left and just over this way to the right, Bathurst Beach. It's a little peninsula, really.
Yeah. So we're looking towards the roundabout at Cliff Street, basically, from there. And so the ocean is behind me.
It's to not misuse the word or underestimate the photograph. It's a really pretty photograph. There's something about it. And so is this. What's happening?
Yeah, this was very deliberate. It's this is the what is it called? The Harbour Master Classic run on the family run on at Fremantle Port. So starts at Victoria Quay, and then they run all the way till the end of the South Mall.
So quite close to Fleet Street is where they take off. They run down South Mall.
Yeah, they actually run
down
through,
to the down to the room and around.
Yeah, they
the
run through. They run through a shed.
Yes,
and this music—it's I love it. It's a brilliant thing. And Neil Stanbury, who used to work at the port, told me that they were expecting a cruise ship at I think 12 o'clock, and so I knew immediately that this was the photo. Running people, the cruise ships. This was shot by fairly long lens, probably 200mm. I was probably almost at the start of the South Mall, and it just worked perfectly. I mean, you got the lighthouse in it, you've got the runners going and coming, and you've got this enormous cruise ship coming in the back, and it's a really good photo.
It is, and for people who do know that area, the way you've been able to bring it all together, it's as though you've put your hands around all of those things, the ship, the green lighthouse at South Mole, the people, the road, and brought them all in to make it the focus of the photo.
Yeah, it sounds arrogant, but if you know what you're doing, I knew exactly where I needed to be. And I talked to a friend of mine, she was also photographing, and she was on the opposite side of the mall, the mall. And she said, oh, your photos were much better than mine. I said, well, you were in the wrong location. and because I see it, even when I see wedding photographers in town, I sometimes say, why are you doing it from there? You're in the wrong spot.
And they're not looking at the sun.
And that is the great thing about having been a photographer for so long. I know immediately where I need to be.
Now, I'm sure if we study that photo closely, we'll see the aforementioned Neil Stanbury, who's a bit of a runner himself.
Yes, yeah.
Probably in it.
Yeah.
But we go from that, talking about light, standing in the right place, and it's a little bit like the Fleet Street one, but tell us more about this photo. It looks quite baroque.
Yeah, this is High Street at sunset, and I was actually having a drink with some friends on the at the rooftop bar of the National Hotel, and walk out, and I see the beautiful light, so I grab my camera. I've always got my camera on me, and I grabbed it, and it's again that understanding. The light obviously comes from the right. Because it comes from the right and I photograph it from the left, it creates this architectural, almost three-dimensional feel of a building. So it's one of the, and then of course the warmness of the light, the golden glow is, it's very special with the heritage building.
It's nice, and that sort of heralds the whole of the West End of Fremantle, which is something I suppose, it's hard to take a bad photograph here from the West End.
Yeah.
But this is sort of part of all of that along the Cappuccino Strip. Tell us about this photo.
Yeah, the Fremantle Street Art Festival. It will be on again during the Easter long weekend. It's probably my favourite festival because it is accessible to everyone for free. I think one of the things Fremantle has gone the wrong way is that some of the festival events nowadays people need to pay. And I don't think that's fair to people who can't afford to pay. So I love this because everyone can come, everyone can have fun. You can spend as much or as little as you want supporting our local businesses. And I just love this because again, it's, you know, the heritage building in the back, people enjoying the performance of this person, hanging on and doing her stuff. And it's a very Fremantle photo. It's the Beer Porium.
And it's just full of joy. There's kids, there's
Yeah, it's just an enjoyment of life, you know, and this was one of the shops in Fremantle had some mirrors in the window, so this is actually shot through the window of a reflection in the mirror behind the window, so that's just one of those little things, and there's writing on the mirror. What does it say? Can't even see it.
It says, you are enough.
Yeah, you are enough. So.
Well, it's very clever, I suppose, if you were in the Olympic diving competition. Yes. This would be three somersaults and a pike.
Yeah.
You have to be clever to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is just again, it's just all about awareness, seeing that when you walk by.
Talking about awareness, Ruhl, what's going on in this photo?
This is, this is one of the... I don't have a lot of favourite shots, but this is one because I love babies. And I love women.
It's just a beautiful photograph.
And this was when the city of Fremantle still had their carols by candlelight at Fremantle Oval. And it had just, it just was going to start, and I was standing there talking to someone, and this woman stood up with her baby in her arm, and I just immediately knew that's the shot, that's the hero. That tells me the whole story. You know, baby, child, Christmas, what else? It's just, it's everything. And it's just so beautiful. She's just so relaxed with her beautiful baby, and it's just such a beautiful shot, and the people in the background slightly blurred.
Well, if in the 16th or 17th century they'd say it was a Madonna type photograph. Yeah. Do you as a street photographer snapping that ever have to go up and say to the subject of the photo, do you mind, I've just taken this photo?
No, if I did, then they would start posing. So the biggest problem, I mean, that's, thank God, in Australia, street photography still means we do not need permission, unless, of course, we use it for commercial purposes. But for editorial, you can photograph anyone.
You're in a public place.
In a public place, exactly. And it would totally spoil the picture if they say, oh, you need to actually do ask for people like the man sitting at Baylor's Beach. If I say to him, can I take your photo, he starts looking at me, or he starts being different.
Or wants to be paid for the photo.
It's not so much that most people are, you know, I often approach people afterwards and say, I've taken your photo, here's my card, send me an email and I'll send you a photo.
So, oh, that's lovely.
You know, so because it's no big deal.
Yes.
And
now the people in this photo are almost shadows, not people, but they're there, tucked away on the left. Tell the viewers a little bit about this.
Yeah, this is very typical light you get at Victoria Quay with the old, this is B-shed and A-shed. When the sun sets at a certain time of the year, it gets the old buildings get its real beautiful glow, and then on the right, you got a bit of the old Lewin in there. And then people happen to walk by, create that, that darkness and that shadow and that mood. And it's a great spot to try out light in, and see what happens.
And the light coming through it all. The Lewin, of course, got demasted at one point, but it's back down on Victoria Quay looking as good, if not better than ever.
Yeah, yeah, I was there at just after 6:30 in the morning when the Lewin got crashed and stood there in the rain. And it was, yeah, it was very disappointing and very sad
it
to see
it. It was a terrible thing, and you and I covered it in Freeview and on the shipping news.
Yeah, and the captain of the, you know, he was so distraught. He was there standing there and, you know, he didn't even want to talk to me. He was just so...
It was a windy day, Ruhl, but it wasn't as wild as the weather in this photo.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I for me, the ocean, coming from Holland, the ocean is always rough in the Netherlands. It's never really summer. So
the
I love it.
The North Sea.
Yeah, the North Sea.
But this is the Indian Ocean.
This is the Indian Ocean during a real beautiful storm. And this is, again, shot from somewhere in the dunes at Baylis Bay. And you can see the two lighthouses. And, you know, the waves crashing over the South Mall. And it's, yeah, it's just, again, one of those, you know, autumn-winter shots that are special.
This isn't wild at all. It's quite beautiful. Where are we at here?
This is at, this is called the East Street Jetty, down where they're at the moment building the new bridge. So this is looking back. The East Street Jetty used to have a Thursday food festival, food trucks, with a bit of music. And I was there to take some photos of the food trucks, and I see this young woman and her bike, and the sun setting, you know, just under the old bridge, and I thought, well, that's a great shot, and it is, it's a lovely photo.
With the woman and the bike and the water, you could start to think it's a canal in Amsterdam, but the canal wouldn't be that big.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely photograph. It just makes you stop, makes me stop and think and reflect, and there's quite a few people around Freer who do use bikes if they don't walk.
Yeah.
But then we go to another shot, and I absolutely love this. I've tried to take photographs like this, but never produced anything like that.
Yeah, no, again, it's chance. You know, I go and have fish and chips or something in at Cayley's or wherever, or I come out and had a drink with someone. The sun sets, and this happened to be on Baylis Bay, Baylis Beach, with lots of people on the boardwalk, and as silhouetted against the setting sun is just, you know, that activation, that energy that you can get.
Well, we're getting to the close to the end of this discussion about these images that you've selected. A wonderful Fremantle focus. You've told us again about your own origins in photography, The Hague, Nuremberg, finding your way to Australia. What have been some of the, if you like, the exciting parts along the way? You were a commercial photographer, you went to the northwest of West Australia, you've been on mine sites, you've been here and there.
Yeah, I loved it all because it's all so different. I love the press photography that you know, you had to perform on in that moment. You cannot fail when you know. And I photographed during my press days. I worked, my first years were for a tabloid, so everything was possible. So, you know, so you photograph dead bodies and you photograph people who are burnt in cars and you do all that nasty stuff, murdered people. It was often, but at the same time, also the beauty of sitting through a dress rehearsal of an opera or, you know, theatre play and trying to find the essence of that. You know, photographing sport, all different kinds of sport, and then coming to Australia, and then for the first time in my life, I go to a mine site. I had no idea what a mine site looked like or how it worked, so you need to then get to know that. How do you actually tell the story of a mine site?
You've alluded to this earlier. I imagine you've had those jobs that many commercial photographers have had, where you had to have the photos that go into the company's annual reports.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all, in a sense, that's all still photography and to some extent staged compared to what we've been talking about.
Mm. Yeah, it's you know, and it's again that responsibility. You're charging a client a lot of money. Often in those days, they would say, go to Jandakotters and a little aeroplane waiting for you, because they were talking before drones. Because we also want aerial photos of the of the side. So we land, we take the door out of the small plane. I put my legs left and right off the door because there was no safety. And say the pilot, okay, fly a few times over the pit and the plant, and then try to take photos. But I came out totally green. People say, oh, you look so green. I said, well, the speed on the ground is incredible. But anyway, it's all fun. It's very hot. It's very, you know, underground. It is just so humid and wet and. But I love doing this. I did a lot of industrial photography, a lot of work for architects, which I absolutely love doing. Worked for the Midland Redevelopment Authority for 11 years, did all their photography, and East Perth as well. Of course, the port here, 14 years. And then one of the things I did, you caught the photo there now, or two photos. Shell Australia asked me to fly to East Timor shortly after.
That's this one here?
That's this one here, shortly after East Timor had been liberated. Shell was involved in re-roofing of East Timor. The Indonesians had left and burned most houses. The houses had remained, or the buildings remained, but the roofs had all gone. And so we spent a week on East Timor, a designer, myself and Antonios from Shell, to photograph people in East Timor. A lovely, lovely thing.
So the images here, the black and white on the left, the colour on the right, photographs you took, and then they've been used by Shell in posters or in print form, and they've gone out into the world. That must have been quite an exciting thing to do.
Yeah, it was lovely. We had to fly to Darwin, and then from Darwin to East Timor, to Tilly, and then we also drove down 400 or 500 kilometres to another city there, or town, where they had a beautiful market. But there was a lot of the UN personnel everywhere, so there was not enough accommodation. So we had to spend two nights in a convent with the nuns, which was very interesting because we all like to have a drink after a day's work. And so then we end up at 10 o'clock saying, oh, no, you actually need to be at 10 o'clock because the lights go off in the convent. But it was brilliant. It was just one of the nicest things I've done. I became friends with the guy from Shell. He's now back in Perth, and the designer has always been a good mate of mine. We shared the same birthday, so it's always special, the 25th of October. But these are special things, you know, and it's the beauty about photography. You can do it all over the world. You don't even have to speak the language.
Roel, any advice before we finish for the young aspiring photographer, for the 16-year-old who just can't put the camera down?
Yeah, two advices. First of all, really, really be aware of the light and that you need to get it right. Don't rely on your software in the computer. And if you want to work with people, you need to have real excellent people skills. You need to really be able to relate to everyone. Like I would have in my commercial world, I go to a mine site. The next day I need to photograph the board of directors, or I go to government house to photograph the governor or one of their guests or royalty. So to try to relate to people immediately is a real special skill that you need to have as a photographer.
Roel Lubbers, you plainly have that skill. Thank you for joining me today to talk about
these
images.
You're very welcome. I'd loved it.